Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us.
Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination.
One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask New People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Welcome back in, everybody, to a Monday edition of Birds 365. Big shout out to our newest member, John Love. John, appreciate you becoming a member. My man, joined now on Birds 365 by Jeff Kerr from CBS Sports. Jeff, welcome to the show, man. Week one is almost in the books. We got one game left on week one. How you doing on this overreaction Monday, Jeff Kerr?
I do overreactions on Sunday. So I've been hearing it from people across the board. People just don't want to hear the truth. That's the reality. And John knows that.
Yeah, that is the reality. But first off, was that a record for the Eagles? Zach Bond's 15 tackles?
It is. So there's only been six players. And remember, the tackle stat started in 1987. There's only been six players that have had 15 tackles and two sacks of a game. And one of them is actually on the Eagles and didn't play Friday night.
Why does that seem so low for me for a franchise record? I mean, it's a great number, but I guarantee you,
as Jeff pointed out, now some people, Pro Football Reference, the Pro Football Historicals, they go back and grade and you know, the tape and tally up old stats. Like, when did sacks start, Jeff?
The official sack started in 1982, but Pro Football Reference found.
Yeah, Pro Football. Yeah, they go back to Deacon Jones, and you know, when they're really, I guarantee you, back in the early 80s, 70s, somebody had more than 15 tackles. That's why I kind of said, but good. I mean, Zach got my game ball. Zach played tremendous. It's not a shot at Zach Bond, but the accumulation of tackles is not the best stat. He just played well overall, which manifested itself into a lot of tackles on this particular game. He was one of the biggest surprises. Who got your game ball? If you had to give out just one, who got your game ball?
It's hard to go against Zach Bond, right? I mean, I don't think anybody expected a performance like that. I mean,
I thought Penn State Jeff would be going with Penn State Saquon Barkley.
I already am taking my pats on the back and my flowers for him, especially after watching that atrocious performance by the Giants yesterday. So I'll go with Zach Bond. I mean, I did not expect that at all.
That's one of my overreactions. The New York Giants brass, so I'm talking about Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, will not survive this, partially because of what's going to happen with Saquon here. And people can't, like, wrap around. And, like, he's not a good fit for the Giants, but he's a good fit for the Eagles. But even their owner can't figure that out. So they will not survive this. That's my overreaction.
Yeah. So I look at it a different way from you, John, and I agree with everything you said. But the fact that I think they chose to pay the guy that currently is their quarterback, and they tried to improve their offensive line again. It's still really bad. They tried two tight end sets yesterday. That was a disaster. Jalen Hyatt, who they hype up like no tomorrow, barely played. I mean, he was pretty much their Bryce Huff this week. What a disastrous franchise the New York Giants are.
Yeah. Malik Nabers did a little bit.
Malik Nabers is good. It's just, yeah. And by the way, I didn't think their defense actually played.
No, they got some players on defense.
Yeah, they do. But their quarterback stinks and their offensive line stinks. And the Giants with that, and the Cowboys with the stuff they do, is why I could never take those two franchises seriously.
Well, you better take the Cowboys.
Oh, I take the Cowboys seriously, but I'm judging them in January because they've earned that right.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, that by that statement alone, judging them in January, you know they're going to be there. You know
they're going to be there.
Now, I'm with you. Same thing with Baltimore and Lamar. All right. If you want to rip him for his postseason performance, feel free. But they're good.
Yep.
And all of Lightning's just got to strike once, and the Cowboys are going to be there again because, as Xander's talking about, your PSU as a PSU grad, you should be hyping up Micah Parsons.
Micah Parsons was dominant yesterday. 8 pressures. Was it 8 quarterback? I forget the exact stat. I got to look it up, but.
The whole pass rush, they
couldn't block him for anything.
Yeah.
So I had the 405 game yesterday, which you could only get if you were on ticket. I had Harbaugh's debut. So I was really, really happy to see J.K. Dobbins just tear it up yesterday for that
team. Yeah, he had a good game, J.K. Dobbins.
Yeah, it was a year ago. Saturday is when he ruptured his Achilles on like the 4th play of the game. He kind of did Aaron Rodgers.
4th play of the game. Yeah, that's tough. The New York Jets, by the way, get started tonight against the San Francisco 49ers.
That'll be a good game, too.
Yeah, that's going to be a very interesting game. I'm looking for the Micah numbers. Let's see what they gave him credit for. Only had 1 sack. Only they had him at 5 quarterback pressures. So, but quarterback hits. What is the Q? I think it's quarterback hit.
Yeah. Q's quarterback hit. So he, which 5 is still a lot, by the way. It's a lot for a football game. John, how bad was Deshaun Watson yesterday?
17 quarterback hits. But that's the one thing. Cleveland was absent both of their tackles, Jedrick Wills and Jack Conklin. So typically Cleveland has one of the best offensive lines in football. But when you lose both your tackles against the Cowboys, yeah, it's going to be tough.
Yeah,
that said, Deshaun Watson stinks on top of it.
My upset pick Wednesday was Browns over the Cowboys, and I asked CBS on Friday, I'm like, can I please change that? And they said, why do you want to change it? I'm like, Browns are out both their tackles. I don't actually think that's going to happen now.
Yeah, that was bad. But back to the Eagles, Birds 365. People are going to get difficult. So we'll keep the overreactions to the Eagles. All right. There was some stuff that wasn't good. And where would you start if you're talking about the stuff that wasn't good?
Oh, man. So, I mean, obviously, Jalen's giveaways, we can harp on that all day. They were pretty bad. I thought Jalen played fine, honestly, if even with all that. But I wasn't crazy about the giveaways. The third A.J. Brown was late. I thought that could have – the picky out of the end zone, I thought A.J. Brown was open earlier, and he just – I don't know if he didn't see him or
– All four turnover-worthy throws were late. That was the theme. Every single one of them was late. And that's egregious, thrown it across your body to the middle of the field in the end zone. That was an egregious throw. I think it's fair to point out. But here's what I love about Jalen Hurts. Like, most people have a game like that, and they're throwing the ball, and they're struggling. They're going to they're going to fall apart. And all of a sudden, he's relentless. You got to play. I said, Vic Mangio called the Green Bay offense an all-day sucker. I said, Jalen Hurts is on. You got to play for 60 minutes. Because even if you got him and he's having a poor game and he was having a poor game, he's making plays at the end of the game to win the game. That is, I think, the positive with Jalen. Well,
yeah, that's why he has as many wins as he does as a starting quarterback. And look, you can debate all day if wins are a quarterback stat or not, but there are reasons why you can say it is. And because of, like you said, the relentlessness of Jalen Hurts. Like, if most quarterbacks play like he played Friday night in the turnover department, they're done. Not him. It's, you know, he just steps in the pocket later in the game, throws a dime to A.J. Brown, throws that perfect pass to Saquon Barkley on the wheel route. It's, I mean, that's why I said I thought Jalen played fine, but if you take away the giveaway, he played phenomenal. It's just the giveaways brought it down.
Jeff, what'd you make of Saquon Barkley's debut? 3 touchdowns, 132 yards from scrimmage, a touchdown pass in the end zone. I thought Saquon, you know, he didn't disappoint in his opener with the Eagles. What'd you think of Saquon Barkley's debut in Philly?
The day they signed him, I kind of envisioned that, you know, him running behind that offensive line. I mean, look, he's not the explosive Saquon that we saw at Penn State or his first year or two with the Giants, but he's still a really good running back. And he, and like John said earlier, he's a perfect fit for what the Eagles want to do. And I love how they utilized him in the passing game. They gave him plenty of runs in his strength in the B gap, and it worked. The 34-yard run he had, what was it, John? At the end of the third quarter, the one
last where play, last play of the third quarter.
Yeah, that looked like he was going to get 1 yard, and he ended up getting 34 because of his cutback. I mean, it just opened so much up. It really, you know what? And I joked about it early in the second half before he scored the third touchdown. I'm like, this kind of feels like T.O.'s first game, where he scores 3 touchdowns. And remember, T.O. didn't have, like, a Saquon Barkley stat line that first game. I think it was only 8 catches for 61 yards, but he had 3 touchdowns. But Saquon runs for 100, 3 touchdowns, is one of the league's rushing leaders. I think of the running backs, only Dobbins and Mixon have more yards than him.
Yeah, 26 touches, which surprised me a little bit.
Yeah, ton.
That's not sustainable, is it?
No. John, did it feel like he got that many touches because they don't play till next Monday night and because, you know, this was a Friday game, a rare Friday game of week one? It's kind of odd to go on schedule. I kept joking to some of the players, it's kind of like a bowl game, right? And that's how some of them kind of looked at it.
Yeah, well, I think they were trying to close the game. So if you think about the last drive where they closed the game, and they basically siphoned whatever. There was 7:52 left, and they siphoned like 7:26 of it off the clock or whatever it was. The first three plays were Barkley running the football. And that kind of spikes it up. And he had three more runs in that. I'm counting them up. Oh my. So
yeah, he had 8 runs on that last cat.
Yeah.
That last
8 runs on that last. So right there, that explains it. Right. You go from 18 to 26.
Yeah. That was, and I agree with you. That's Nick saying, hey, look, we're going to chew time off the clock. They can't stop and we're going to put this thing away.
Yeah. Well, but the interesting part is most of them weren't that successful. You had -2, you had 9, which is solid. You had 2, -3, 2, 2, 3. So only one was successful. And that's where Jalen Hurts comes into it. You had that, you had that scramble where he's basically carrying people. And then Devontae Smith, to me, was the star. To me, the final drive was about Jalen Hurts and Devontae Smith. And Devontae Smith dragging people for a first down at his size, that is something else.
You know, it's funny. You and I get to see it, John. I wish kind of the fans would get to see it, but I think they kind of know. For a guy who, with his frame, he's jacked. Like, he's
just
built.
Oh, yeah. He's very powerful for size.
Yeah.
Because he's a good blocker. Sometimes he gets overpowered, but for his size, it's amazing how much power he packs into it. And I thought the fact that Kellen Moore trusted Jalen Hurts to make big throws, yeah, despite what went on in the game, I think that's a positive, and that's gonna cement that relationship. The passes to Devontae Smith at 16 yards on 2nd and 13. Think about that.
One of the plays of the game.
Yeah. You're sitting there 2nd and 13, Green Bay's like, all right, we're gonna stop and we're gonna have a chance. And they get 16 yards on 2nd and 13 to Devontae. And then 2nd and 8, when you're trying to hold them to a field goal, he gets 11 yards. That won the game, those two plays.
Yeah. And by the way, when they had I would love to ask Saquon this week, because I noticed on that last drive, the Packers put 8 in the box. So they were clearly trying to stop Saquon, daring Jalen to throw and beat them. And it didn't work.
Yeah, it's a give and take, and it's going to be interesting. But, you know, they got out of there. Xander asked, what's the most impressive part? Win the game. Found a way to win the game.
And you know what? This was probably a game that if you would have asked us last Monday at this time, I would have told you they're probably going to lose the game. But they didn't, and now they really can get jump-started on this season.
Jeff, how much stock you putting in those turnovers from Jalen Hurts, namely the interceptions? You know, it's one thing to have 2 interceptions. It's another thing to make 2 putrid decisions with the football. Are you chalking it up to week 1 rust, or are you a little bit more concerned about that than others coming into week 2 here?
You didn't have 20 of these last year, you know, in 17 games, I would have said, yeah, I would chalk it up. You know what, Xander, I'll give you one. I chalked it up last year. I kind of let it blow by when they beat the Patriots in week 1. Like, okay, well, Jalen doesn't do that. Well, now Jalen does do that. So, to me, the issue is, can he stop doing that? I think he can, but I got to go by the numbers in front of me. And the guy has the most giveaways in the league since the start of last year. And like John said, the throws are late. That's a concern.
Yeah, I'm trying to go back, and that was during his starting career, by far his worst grade from PFF, by far. And I can't recall that many turnover-worthy throws. I would say say in the offseason, his history is he doesn't turn the ball over. He's very ball security conscious. That was very uncharacteristic of
Jalen. I had a fan point this out to me. I'm glad he did. Because when I said this is the first time the Eagles have won when Jalen's turned the ball over 3 times or more, and he said, Jeff, correct me if I'm wrong here. Doesn't the only time he turns the ball over 3 times or more in MetLife? And I looked it up. It was. So that was the first time. It's, you know, somewhere other than MetLife he did that.
MetLife and Sao Paulo now have that in common with the multiple turnovers from Jalen Hurts. Hopefully he can clean this up. I want to go to the super chat here because it's about exactly what we're talking about from our man, James Carver. James, thanks for the super chat, James Carver. $20, man. We appreciate your support. He says, Jalen's first imp really was, in my opinion, more so the field than anything. It was later, but not really late, but his back foot slipped in the end zone, and when he threw, Smitty was bracketed, but the linebacker was turned, and the seam was open, except the ball sailed. I don't really know if I agree with Carver there. Johnny Mack, I'll go to you first, and then Jeff, what's your take on what James had to say about that?
You're making excuses. I love you, James. Every single one of those turnover-worthy throws were extremely late for an NFL quarterback, and bad things are going to happen when you throw the ball late in the NFL, and bad things did happen. Alexander dropped one. I forget who dropped the pick 6 before the interception in the end zone. You might remember, Jeff.
Was it Stokes?
Might have been, but that should have went for 6 the other way.
Oh, no, you know what? It was Nixon. Nixon dropped it.
Yeah, Nixon's going to go. Nobody's catching him. Yeah, I mean, his entire starting career, even games he's played poorly, there have been games, the Tampa Bay playoff games, the Giants games people are mentioning. Nowhere can you find that many turnover-worthy throws from Jalen Hurts. It was not a good performance. But, like I said, if you want the positive, the guy's freaking relentless. He's got a mentality like a star cornerback. He doesn't let that stuff bother him, and he's still down the stretch of the game making big throws to win it. Most quarterbacks fall apart when they're playing like
that. You know, kind of did fall apart after his turnover, Jordan Love.
Yeah, most quarterbacks do. So if you want a positive, I would go in that direction with Jalen. It was arguably his worst performance ever. And they won the game. He found a way to win the game. But he didn't play well. I mean, if you have a problem with people saying that, I mean, come on. You're just not being honest with yourself.
You have to be concerned. 23 giveaways in 18 games.
Well, from the standpoint of, I'm not concerned about him doing, like, I don't think it's possible. Like, he's not going to turn into a bad quarterback overnight.
No, he's not a bad quarterback. That's the funny thing of it.
I'm not too concerned about it. But it was for one game. Yeah, it was pretty bad. And they won the game. So,
yeah. What does that tell you? it tells you that
there's a lot of talent.
yeah. There's a lot of talent, and they got guys that can bail him out. And Saquon and Devonta did that on Friday.
Yeah, three turnovers, Jeff, and they still put 34 points on the board. So, obviously, you know, the talent is there. If they can clean some of those things up, the offense showed how good, you know, they can be if they can mitigate some of those mistakes that they had. Jeff, I want to go to the defensive line and ask you about Bryce Huff. He played less snaps than Nolan Smith and Brandon Graham. Didn't make much of an impact in the game, really made no impact in the game. Too early to sound the alarm on Bryce Huff.
No, John and I watched Bryce Huff enough in training camp to know that we're probably not even surprised by this performance.
I'm a little bit. Yeah, I'm not as down on Bryce Huff as other people. I've taken the other, you know, like I never saw Hassan Reddick do anything in Eagles practice. A lot of that has to do with Lane Johnson. So from my standpoint, I was like, well, let's wait and see. Now, week one was not good.
Are we chalking that up to the field though?
I kind of am.
I defend a lot of guys on that, so I gotta stay consistent.
I'm giving them a mulligan, but I got my eye on it. If the same thing happens against Atlanta a week from tonight, then you start to worry. But I am giving the entire, because the front seven was brutal, overall, except for early in the game. The two drives early, Green Bay lost the game by not being able to punch the football into the end zone, probably. And they did a good job. And a lot of that comes with Bick as well, a real increase in feel for the game and situational football from Vic Fangio. But I do think everybody struggled but Brandon, really. And I think a lot of it had to do with the turf. So,
yeah, I mean, Jalen Carter only had two pressures, and I thought he had a decent game. But, yeah, that's why I kept chalking up to the field. I'm like, well, I can't really get on Jordan Davis much. I can't get on Nolan Smith much. Even Bryce Huff. But, yeah, I was upset at how Bryce Huff performed. But I think it's more of me being upset that they didn't keep us on rec, and I know why. But it's just one of those – I feel like we're trying to be smarter than what we actually are with this
game. I mean, are Zach Bond and Reed Blankenship the only ones who can figure out the footwear? You know, it is kind of
– it's weird.
It is kind of weird because those two played tremendously.
John, how did you think that Kobe Dean looked? It was hard for me to get an actual –
He didn't play well either, did he? Oh, no, God. He was in the 20s. I'm trying to pull it up. Who the worst graded Eagles were.
It couldn't have been Dean. I mean, he wasn't good, but he
No, he was near the bottom. He was the worst defensive grade. He barely Jalen Carter beat him barely.
Was it CJ?
No, N'Kobe was the worst.
Okay.
And Jalen Carter, that the bottom five were Booker, Huff, Maddox.
Booker played like six snaps, didn't he?
Yeah, small sample size, but yeah, we'll throw him out because he didn't play. So the bottom five are Nolan, Bryce Huff, Avante. Avante had a tough game.
Yeah, he did.
Jalen Carter, N'Kobe Dean. Those are your bottom five. Your top five on defense were Reed Blankenship, number one, Brandon, number two, Zach, number three, Slay, number four, Milton Williams, number five.
Slay was only targeted once the entire
game. Yeah, they were scared to death of Slay.
Yeah.
By the way, offensively, Lane, number one, Devontae, number two, AJ, number three, Jordan Mailata, number four, Landon Dickerson, number five.
Offensive line had a good night.
Yeah. Well, that they got helped by the Terp, I think.
Yeah, they did.
Bottom five, you're not going to like. We'll throw Johnny Wilson out because he barely played. So we're only the guys. This is going to fire people up to no end. Bottom five, Saquon Barkley, Dallas Goedert, Jahan Dotson, Grant Calcaterra, and bottom of the list, Jalen Hurts.
I always say, you know, they're a good barometer, but I always say sometimes they can be a grain of salt because I'm curious how that Saquon Barkley grade comes out.
Well, the idea is, right, he touched it 26 times, so it just went over. So 34-yard run, 18-yard pass, the other 22 touches were ineffective touches. So it's about consistency.
But that's kind of – that's kind of cool for a running back because, again, just watching I'll go to the Chargers game yesterday, you take away a 12-yard run and a 61-yard run by J.K. Dobbins. Couldn't you say the same thing?
Well, we'll see how it shakes out with J.K. that they're not. But what I'm trying to say, no, you're and I think people don't understand the grading. The grading's about consistency. It's not about. And I'm the first to tell you, they don't value splash plays as much as they should. But as long as you know what it is, it's very valuable. It's about grading from play to play. I always use the baseball analogy since Jeff's a baseball guy. Like the prior Phillies, I don't want to call it dynasty, but when the Phillies were very good, you had Ryan Howard, Chase Utley, Jimmy Rollins. Well, if you did all around baseball players, Chase Utley and Jimmy Rollins are always going to be ahead of Ryan Howard. But who was the most impactful player on that team?
Ryan Howard
by far. So, you know, Saquon's like Ryan Howard going 0-for-3, maybe 2 strikeouts, 3 strikeouts even, and then bang, the 3-run home run. Changes the whole complexion of the game. That's my comparison.
Yeah, and I always felt like PFF never really graded running backs great anyway. Just because of what you said.
Here's the thing. When somebody complains about a good grade, I'll take them more seriously. Because everybody loves the good grades.
Yep.
And they're always 100%. And they don't like the bad grades.
My takeaway from this game was, and I wrote a column about it Saturday about Barkley's impact. Last year, the Eagles were dead last in yards after contact when a running back actually touched the defender or when got into contact with a defender, they pretty much went down. It was 2.3. Saquon was 3.8 on Friday. That led the league. So complete opposite.
Yeah, but
make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno was a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno was elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised Racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for Black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by Win Senate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us.
Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination.
One Black man sued for being told, "You Black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us.
Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination.
One Black man sued for being told, "You Black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Yeah, but Jeff, how many of that was the 34-yard run? Skewing it. So it works both ways.
But averages are averages, right?
Yeah,
I'm a bowler. That's why
and see. small sample sizes are small sample sizes. So as you get larger, things will start to even out. But yeah, when people said game ball for me, like I think the average person's going to go Saquon in that game. I went immediately to Zach Bond. To me, and the film kind of matched what we all saw.
You could even say Devonta Smith with the game ball.
Yeah, Devonta would have been ahead. Offensive linemen are always difficult, but the offensive line as a whole played great in my estimation. But they probably got help by the field.
You're right, because I thought Mekhi Becton had a good game.
He had a very good game.
Yeah,
I was concerned about that matchup, but that's part of the reason why I'm giving the Eagles front a mulligan, because I'm like, Kenny Clark didn't play well.
No.
Green Bay only had one guy that played well, which was Rashawn Gary.
Yeah. Who doesn't put his hand in the dirt.
Yeah, and he's a good player. Rashawn Gary, but
Lucas Van Ness is slipping all over the place.
Everybody was slipping. The NFL should be ashamed of itself.
It's really dumb.
This is a joke, and it's going to happen next year. They're going to go back. I don't know if it's going to be actually next year. I was told they're going back to Brazil, which is
wouldn't surprise me. Guys, I want to ask you both about the blitz. It's one of the things we talked about the most this offseason. John, in our preview to the game, it was your number one thing to watch. The blitz numbers came out for Jalen Hurts against the blitz.
He was 67
for 91 yards, a passing touchdown, a perfect passer rating. Jeff, I'll go to you first. Did Jalen Hurts answer the questions on if he will be able to handle the blitz this year?
Oh, yeah, because he didn't have a stat line like that in any of his games last year. I thought he was great against the blitz. He anticipated it. He was doing his checks. He knew where to go with the football right away. And his incomplete pass, I think, was just one. He just had no time to get rid of it. It was just, okay, I'm just going to get rid of it. He took a sack, I think, because he didn't throw one pass. I think he took a sack. But besides that, I mean, look, he was on the money. He knew where to go. He threw a touchdown off a set blitz. Perfect passer rating. What can you complain about?
I'm not going to say he's solved the problems. I mean, one of the things I was surprised, and I don't think Hapley had a great NFL debut.
No,
I don't think he tested him, which was a surprise.
I don't think Hapley's a good defensive coordinator either.
I mean, I don't know if he's going to end up, but talking to Lane during the week, I mean, he was expecting a boatload of pressure. And he didn't really see it. And maybe it was because of the field. Maybe that affected his game plan. But I don't think he was tested yet. So until he gets tested. Now, in the short time, he did a really good job with it. That was one of the positives. But that was mitigated by the stuff he usually does a better job with, and the fact that when he held the ball late, he was making poor throws instead of just living to play another down, whether it's running the football or whether it's just throwing it away. In that small sample size, he handled it very well. I just don't think he was – I was surprised how little Green Bay brought extra pressure, to be honest.
Maybe they did and they couldn't.
Yeah, maybe they couldn't.
That's true. Maybe the field factored in. But I thought it was good to see that Jalen handled what he was given pretty well. So, there was negatives with Jalen, with the turnovers and stuff, but I do think that was a positive. So we'll continue to watch that going into, week two here. But, Jeff, final thoughts, man. We appreciate you being here on this football overreaction Monday edition of Birds 365. Final thoughts on the Eagles' week one win versus the Green Bay Packers.
Big win. Much more impactful than, say, the Saints demolishing the Carolina Panthers, which, by the way, yeah. By the way, the Saints fan base, they're so delusional. So delusional.
You're not a big Dennis Allen guy.
I can't stand him. I think he's a terrible head coach.
We got that team in 2 weeks, and they're on.
They
look
pretty good. Now that it's tough to say because the Panthers are just an abject disaster.
Yeah.
And by the way, I predicted that when I picked up five people on waivers, or was it six?
Yeah, they picked up a lot.
Yeah. What was it, John? They picked up like three corners.
Yeah. I mean, that tells you how bad a roster is. If you're picking up that many people off waivers and you don't want to work with any of the people you worked with throughout the spring and summer, they're a freaking disaster.
There were the NFC South was very interesting on Sunday, by the way. If you want some final thoughts here, Zan. So the Bucs did what I thought they were going to do, dismantle Washington. Washington's defense is garbage, by the way. The Falcons, oh, God. I really hope.
Oh, they look brutal.
Yeah, I really hope the Eagles pass rush could turn it around against it, because I know it's TJ Watt, but Caleb McGarry looked horrible against him.
He's a good player too, TJ.
Yeah, he is a good
Hall of Fame player, though.
Yeah, but the way Caleb McGarry played Sunday, and again, like I said, I know it's TJ Watt, but Bryce Huff should be able to feast on him.
And
like you said, Caleb McGarry's a really good player. Really good player, but
I mean, TJ Watt's like historically good.
Can we get to the Kirk Cousins looked like a 36-year-old quarterback?
Yeah, not good, man. Not good. Not good. That's positive for the Eagles.
I'm telling you, John, I've talked to enough people. Matt Ryan is one of them. Michael Penix strain. He said it's going to happen this year.
It's not going to happen. You know why it's not going to happen? Because they paid Kirk Cousins.
Well, that's what, again, that was the second point. He goes, they should play Penix this year. Are they going
to? They should, yeah.
Like, they all these guys love Penix. Love them.
You know, they might be hoping for the Kirk Cousins injury. No, you should never hope for that. But no. Yeah, he did not look good. You know, but again, it's week one. It's overreaction. He did have to knock off some rust.
Well, you know what? I blame the Falcons for that, too. He did not play a snap in the preseason, and he wanted to.
Yeah, and so we'll see. You're going to see the corrections, and everybody looks like a world beater. And, you know, sorry, Eagles fans, you don't have TJ Watt. So that's going to impact things. Boy, I'll tell you what, though. Pittsburgh, they're probably going to find a way to win 9 games because they're who they are. And they have T.J. Watt, and they can do some things defensively. They got some issues at quarterback.
By the way, John, boy Peyton Wilson had a huge tackle in that game.
Did he?
To save him. So the Falcons did, like, I can't remember if it was a screen pass or a quick pass in the flat, but it went to Bijan. And all of a sudden, I saw Bijan get tripped. I'm like, was that Peyton? It was Peyton Wilson. He would have scored a touchdown if it wasn't because of that.
Did he start, Peyton Wilson?
I don't know if he started, but he definitely – I got to look at the game book because there were a couple of plays I saw Peyton Wilson make.
Yeah, can't – but, I mean, on the Zach Bond week, you can't complain about Zach Bond yet.
No. Zach Bond, it's fun. You want an overreaction or a hot take. The best signing there all season was Zach Bond.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of, you know, Zach Bond's really good friends with Andrew Van Ginkle. It's so weird because I think Van Ginkle. What I was about to say. Did you see that pick six?
Oh my God. Daniel Jones never saw Van Ginkle. So here's a funny story, John, and you probably know this too. Andrew Van Ginkle wanted to sign with the Eagles. That was a thing, but I don't know what happened, where it was miscommunication with his agent or nothing just got done, but it's like, okay, well, the Vikings offered and this team didn't give me the offer I wanted.
Yeah, I don't know. He's from that area and he grew up. This is like a TJ Edwards situation. He grew up a Vikings fan, evidently, because I was hyper focused on Van Ginkle to the Eagles. So I was on that, because I thought Vic would say, all right, this is a guy I want.
And he loved him in Miami.
Yeah. So I don't know if that was the case. But I was surprised how little interest I heard from the Eagles. And I thought it was more because he heard his Lisfranc. He had a Lisfranc.
I thought
it had more to do with the injury, although he didn't look like he had a Lisfranc injury yesterday.
But give the Eagles credit, because remember, they jumped on Zach Bond very early in the process.
And that's why I don't think that was the case with Van Ginkle. I think he decided to sign with Minnesota because of he's from the
I talked to a couple Saints writers after they got Bond, because I've heard of Bond, obviously, and I'm like, what was he like in New Orleans? And two people basically said, you're going to love him there. He can play anywhere. Great dude.
But it's interesting because they were teammates at Wisconsin.
Yeah, they were.
And they both have a similar. Now, I don't know if Zach Bond's going to turn into Van Ginkle long term, but he was one of the best defensive players in the NFL last season before he got hurt. And
he was going to be an all pro before he got hurt. That's how good he was last year. And the Dolphins defense suffered after he got hurt.
And I think the positive is that you saw that Vic's going to use Zach Bond like he used Van Ginkle, which I think is a positive. So that was a big positive of week one.
By the way, John, did we ever talk about the Devin White thing?
I don't know if we did, but hey, N'Kobe didn't play well, so maybe Devin's back in the mix.
You know what? It's so weird to me because White played so much in training camp, and I don't think he played bad in training camp either. Like, I'd like to know what happened over the last, like, 2-3 weeks.
Well, N'Kobe took off like a rocket.
Well, yeah, but, you know, I still say, and nothing against N'Kobe, because I really do like N'Kobe, and I hope he does well, but for some reason, maybe it's just me, I feel like their best linebackers are Devin White and Zach Bond. Even though I knew N'Kobe was going to start.
I still think N'Kobe, I still think N'Kobe's their best linebacker. It was a little bit disappointing. I think the whole narrative changes if he makes the interception, which he should have.
Yeah. He had that big hit, though.
And he had the big hit, which people like. I think N'Kobe's going to be fine long term, but he didn't play well.
Again, field. We got to go with the field. Let's see.
I don't know if it was the field. I just don't think he played well. Missed a bunch of tackles. Tackling was an issue, but maybe that's just lack of work in the preseason.
Yeah. By the way, I know since you brought up the preseason, John, we were talking about Kirk Cousins and him not playing the preseason. You know who should have played pretty much every snap in the preseason and didn't? Bryce Young.
Yeah, but I get it from I think a lot of people don't understand. It's not the teams realize the guys are going to be sloppy early in the season.
Well, they treat September like it is the preseason.
Yeah, the whole philosophy behind it is to get to week one as healthy as possible because you say, well, you're not going to be able to prepare like you want anyway. So that's why nobody plays in the preseason or very few snaps in the preseason. It's not about – they know it would help them. It's about, A, they don't want to get them hurt. And, B, why you risk getting them hurt if you don't have time to prepare like you want anyway.
Oh, wow. John, also two former Eagle running backs did not have good days yesterday.
Miles?
No. Miles did not
and
have
good Swift, yeah.
Swift had a 6-yard run. Then I'm watching the game and I look, I'm like, he's still at 6 yards. It was the third quarter. Then he has a 12-yard run. Then he loses, I think, 4 or 5. Like, the Bears' offensive line isn't good, but man.
Yeah. Well, Caleb Williams, they didn't score an offensive touchdown, I don't think. Yeah. Did they?
No, they won the game and they didn't. Yeah, I think they had two defensive touchdowns.
They had a special teams touchdown.
Right, special teams, that's what it was.
Xander, here's a good stat for you. The Bears are the first team to be down 17 in the second half of the game and come back without scoring an offensive touchdown since the Bears in 06. That was the Cardinals game.
Yeah, so the Bears had three field goals. Stat right there. Jonathan Owens getting a gold medal return of a blocked punt, and his wife was very excited, Simone Biles.
Jonathan Owens does pretty well for himself, I must say.
Yeah, and then Stevenson had a 43-yard pick six. So, yeah, they didn't score offensively all day. Caleb Williams was atrocious for people thinking he'd hit the ground. He finished with 93 yards passing. 14 of 29. Yeah, Swift the rookie, 10 for 30.
There's no CJ Stroud in this class.
No, there is not.
No way.
Bo Nix was horrendous.
Tough watch. Tough watch to the point.
That team stinks too.
You know, it was interesting. The ex-Jets quarterback, Sam Darnold, played well. Geno Smith played well late, or at least played well, came back in the game. I was thinking Zach Wilson might get a shot after watching Bo Nix for a
John, did you see Adam Archuleta? Did you hear Adam Archuleta's call on the one pick?
I did not.
Oh, so like literally they're watching and Sparrow Deeds is calling the play, right? Bo's ready to throw it. He hasn't even like gone back yet. And Adam's like, oh no, it ended up being a pick. He knew it.
By the way, everybody knows I'm a Kyle Shanahan truther. That's my bold prediction after week one. I'm not saying he's going to be an all-pro or anything, but Sam Darnold's going to be fine as a starting quarterback.
Well, Sam Darnold's with Kevin O'Connell, who was with Kyle Shanahan last year. So,
yeah, that's he's going to be fine. He can play.
Yeah, probably right on that, Johnny Mac.
He completed his first 12 passes against the Giants defense, which, by the way,
the Giants defense isn't half bad. Yeah, not bad. Giants defense is not bad.
No, they do have some players. That's actually the one bright spot of that team is they do have some players on that defense. Jeff, we got to run here. We appreciate you joining the show on Birds 365. Great breakdown of week one. We'll talk to you next week. All right, Jeff?
That sounds great. Happy, I guess we can say happy start of football season.
Yep, no doubt. Jeff Kerr, thanks for being here, man. There's Jeff Kerr joining us on Birds 365. Great stuff from Jeff Kerr.
We always go late. I apologize. We always go late with Jeff.
That's all right. It's all good. There's a couple things I want to get to. We have Chris Franklin coming up in about 7 minutes, so we'll wait to take our time out. There's a couple chats, John, I got to get to. I want to thank all of our new members today. John Love becomes a member. Derek Pointer becomes a member. Bobby Peoples becomes a member. Dirty Air becomes a member. Philly Birds and Beers. And
everybody
Michael
wants Lee. That jersey.
Everybody wants that jersey, John and Max. Everybody's joining in for the jersey. We'll be giving that away tomorrow. I think I'm going to do the late, after hours on Birds 365. I'll do it from 10 to 10:15. So make sure you guys are here tomorrow morning so that we can do the giveaway for the Saquon Barkley jersey. You must be entered. You must be a member by today. So if you join tomorrow morning, you're not going to be entered. You must be entered into the channel today or a member today to be entered into the giveaway for the week one jersey. We will be giving away one every single week if Saquon goes over 125 yards, with which, you know, if yesterday was any indicator or Friday was any indication, we might be giving away a lot of these things. A couple super chats, Johnny Mac, I want to get to. James Carver drops in $10. James, thank you, brother. We appreciate your support of the channel. He says, JC didn't have typical impact, but think he did play impactful. If you assessed Jalen Carter as a DT, taking up blockers and gaps and allowing linebackers, especially Zach, to shoot gaps without having to stack, JC effectively played JD's game. Interesting take there from James Carver. John, did you see the same from Jalen Carter in that game?
Well, he was. He was okay. JD had a really poor tackling game. A bunch of guys did. CJ did. Milton did. Bunch of guys did. N'Kobe did. Carter was okay from that standpoint. He didn't play like Jalen Carter. But like I said, I'm giving the front seven a mulligan. Came up late, made the big play, sort of like a Super Bowl. You know, that wasn't a dirty play. Him and Josh Sweat teaming up on Jordan Love. But he didn't play like Jalen Carter. I'm not going to lie. He didn't play. I mean, this is the best defensive player on the team. He didn't play. Hopefully it had to do with the turf and the field and the slipping and sliding. They were on skates for most of the night, it seemed, the front seven. And hopefully things go back to normal. But it wasn't one of his better games.
A couple members. Yeah, no, I'm with you. It wasn't. I was expecting him to be a big impact player, and he wasn't. But James Carver, your point is well taken. I will continue to watch him as he develops this season. Couple member chats I want to get to. Abe, my man Abe. I talked to Abe, Johnny Mack, on the post-game show. Brought him up, so it was good to talk to Abe. Put a face to a name with Abe, my man Abe. So he says, I love the fact that Blankenship pointed at Watson after Mitchell deflected the deep ball, then had to hold them back for talking shit. Dog mentality. Yeah, well, just to the point, John, Reed Blankenship played phenomenal.
Oh, unbelievable game.
Yeah. Credit to you, yeah. Because many people were questioning him, and you said, don't worry about Reed Blankenship.
No, and it's one game. But, I mean, he played very consistently last year. For whatever reason, it's pedigree, and people don't expect it from him. And he plays well again, and you'll probably look after Atlanta, and he'll play well again. And, yeah, I mean, tremendous interception. He was arguably the best player on defense from a consistency standpoint. As we mentioned, he got the highest grade. Probably be top-ranked safety in the NFL this week. I wouldn't be surprised. We'll see how things go, but it's going to be tough to beat his number. I will say that. I haven't seen every game, but I saw a good look around the league. Yeah, it's just a really good player. And the Eagles were never concerned about Reed. No matter how many times I said it, nobody believed it. Not even a concern about Justin Simmons, Eddie Jackson. You know, they were very happy with Reed Blankenship.
Yeah, a great play he made on that interception. So good stuff from Reed Blankenship. Hey, appreciate the chat, man. Prince Swayze, a member for 2 months now, checks in with his member chat and says, what? Jalen Carter was being held in double team. This is why I hate PFF. Mitchell didn't allow a TD. John, people don't like the PFF stuff, man.
Oh, they don't like the bad number.
They erupt at the PFF stuff.
Prince, complain about a good number, and then I'll take you more seriously. Like, literally, everybody complains about the bad numbers, and only for the bad numbers of the players that are supposed to be good. every player has bad games from Tom Brady on down. So it happens. And when Jalen Carter is the fifth graded defensive tackle in the NFL as a rookie, you got no problem with that. He didn't play well. He didn't play up to his standard. Unless you want to complain about last season when he got good grades, when he was playing well. I've yet to hear the first fan complain about a good PFF grade.
I will say, you know, you bring up the point that because I'm not as much of a PFF guy. I do take it for what it's worth, and I listen to you when you bring it up. They do seem to be, if a guy plays really good and you think he plays really good, he's there on PFF. Yeah. So I'm not a PFF truther. I like when John brings it up because I think it's good context. But they do seem like, you know, who was the top five graded guys?
On defense, Reed was number one. Brandon was number two in, you know, 32 snaps. Zach was number three. Slay was number four. Milton Williams, the big drop off from four to five. But basically, the four players that played well were Reed, Brandon, Zach, and Slay. And then he had a big drop off to Milton Williams. Offensively, the offensive line graded out very well. Lane was number one. Trying to pull it up real quick. Yeah,
but anyway, my point is that the guys that played well.
Yeah. Devontae was number two. AJ was number three. Jordan Mailata was number four. Landon Dickerson was number five.
Right. They clearly played well in the game. So it's interesting from that perspective, but people don't like it when you bring it up. Two more super chats, John, to get to before we get to our break. Appreciate everybody, by the way, in the chat for being here. We got a great crowd on this morning. 1-0, everybody. The Philadelphia Eagles come away with the win. So make sure you guys hit that like button if you're enjoying the show. Brian Pumper, this is a pretty funny super chat. He says, Ed Reed Blankenship, a.k.a. the Milk Missile, was everywhere. We need Coop stealing Maddox's snaps now. The Milk Missile, Brian Pumper. You might have to trademark that, my man. That's a good nickname for Reed. The Milk Missile. That's
Slay called the Milk Check.
Is that okay? So yeah. It was out there. I didn't see that. So
yeah, Milk Missile. Slay called him Milk Check, but that Milk Check isn't spoiled.
I guess milk just means you're a white dude, right? When you're out there.
Yeah. So usually you worry about the Milk Check, is what Slay was talking about.
Right.
With Cooper, I know, because there's a bunch of people with Cooper. Like I don't think a bunch of people understand how good of an athlete Cooper DeJean is. Like the assumption is that, let's be honest, that white guys in the secondary are not good athletes. That ain't the case with Cooper DeJean. Go on YouTube and look up his basketball highlights if you want to see what kind of athlete he is.
Yeah, so we'll see if he gets out there a little bit more. I didn't think Avante Maddox was great, Johnny Mack.
He didn't. No, he wasn't.
No,
he wasn't.
Yeah. I don't know if he lost his edge a little bit or the injuries have taken a toll, but he was not the same player. One more super chat, and then we're going to get to our break and get up Chris Franklin as soon as possible. Prince Swayze says, Zach caused that Blankenship INT.
Zach did a great job on that
PFF overall, John, good and bad. No, but Prince, you are right. And John talked about that on the postgame show with Zach Bond sticking him in coverage. You know, which led to the Blankenship.
It made the angle of the throw far more difficult with Jordan Love, but it was a great interception. A great interception. But both players deserve a ton of credit for that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So thanks to El Yepa becomes a member. And then one more, James, I'm going to get to your next super chat. It's a good one. So I'll get that after Chris Franklin, brother. Sorry for the delay on it. I appreciate it. It's $20. So we appreciate that, but I don't want to cut you short. I have Chris Franklin waiting in the green room. So I'm going to get to Chris Franklin, and we'll get to your super chat before the end of the show. So good stuff from Chris Franklin. Before I get to our commercial break, I got to tell you guys about our friends at BetUS. They have a new promotion running right now, everybody, specifically for our YouTube people. It's the code YouTube150. And what that 150 means is you get a 150% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits. So you can get tons of money just from depositing free play money on BetUS to go and bet the games, to go and bet Saquon Barkley prop bets, the whole nine yards. So go to betus.com.pa. They have that. And then I'm going to put the banner up on the bottom. You guys can see that code down at the bottom. So it's betus.com.pa. .pa and use the code YouTube150 for 150% sign up bonus. BetUS has the fastest payouts in the industry. It's very fast and very easy to deposit and withdraw your money. They have 24/7 personalized service, 365 days of the year, and you get 10% back on your net losses twice a year. So BetUS is the best place to do all your sports betting this football season. Go there and use YouTube150 to get 150% sign-up bonus. Thanks, everybody, for being here. Hit that like button. Birds 365 will be back in 3 minutes with Chris Franklin on the other side.
If you missed any of today's show on the Jacob Media Channel, listen to the podcast on your way home. Available on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us.
Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination.
One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AskMePeople, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.